The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel like I'm lower than I usually am. That's why I'm fidgeting. The Sundays after Easter, each of the Gospels lessons have answered the question, who is Jesus? And each one we get a bit. Last week it was Jesus as gate, as shepherd, and here it's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's one of those I am sayings, Yahweh. The unspeakable name of God in Hebrew scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's interesting that Christians weren't called Christians for a very long time. In the early days of the church, they were Jews who were going to synagogue and were believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Christian was a title that was put together as an insult, really. They were first called the people of the way. I am the way. It's interesting, in the 70s, all these very hip Bibles to appeal to the young came out, and one of them was called The Way. Nothing, extraordinary about the translation, but it did have a very psychedelic-looking cover. Because there's nothing more insulting than say, "Well, they're young, they just buy it for the cover." Grr. But that is, in terms of the people of the way, that's how they were, how they were referred. And this passage also, for some of you, there may be some hints of remembrance, like you've heard it before. And you certainly have if you've attended a funeral that I've done. Whenever I do a funeral and family asks me about appropriate readings, this is one of the first I pick. I picked it for my father's funeral. When my mother was planning her own funeral as part of her moving into assisted living, she asked me about readings. And I said, "I love this one." And so it was read at her service as well. And I tend to say the same thing about it each time. Fred Craddock is a professor of preaching that I've quoted a lot. And he says, you know, there are certain times not to get overly creative. You don't want to try that new innovative kind of approach at funerals, particularly. You know, let's just tell the story. And so I tend to say the same thing. I'm going to say a lot of the same thing today because some of you may not have been to a funeral I've led, but I think this passage is just so powerful. And it's powerful for the same reason that Psalm 23 is powerful. In Psalm 23, David, toward the end of his life, is trying to, picture his last days and what his life with God has been like. And what does he pick? Well, he's been king. He's been a very successful general. He was a musician in the court of King Saul. But he goes all the way back to his childhood. The Lord is my shepherd. And he imagines himself as a sheep. And as I mentioned last week, not a big compliment. But David had a very clear sense that he was somebody in need of leading, somebody in need of guidance. I think here we have Jesus doing the same thing. He's been trying to prepare his followers for his death, resurrection, and ascension. And what's he going to pick? Well, he's God. He's fully human, and he's fully God. Professionally, I guess we could say he's a carpenter, but he could pick literally anything in the universe to express what he wanted to say about, you know, giving comfort to his followers. And what does he pick? In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many rooms. Now, he begins his comments with, do not let your hearts be troubled, which is jarring, right? They've been with him for years. They love him very much. And he's talked about dying. And he tells them that their hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, that is, believe into God, believe into me, enter into this relationship with me, trust me. And so I've seen do not let your hearts be troubled as don't lose hope. At times like this, preparing for the death of a loved one, experiencing the death of a loved one, sometimes it's easy to lose hope, to have that sense of desolation. And Jesus begins by saying, don't lose hope. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many rooms. When I was a kid, it was, in my Father's house that there were a lot of homes. and I grew up in the suburbs, and I don't know, some of you may have some experience with the suburbs. Certainly the suburbs of San Jose, where I grew up in a town called Santa Clara, city of 3 to 4 million people. In the suburbs, there were houses. There were four floor plans, two for one stories, two for two stories. One had the living room on the left, one had the living room on the right as you faced it. I grew up in the two-story living room on the left model. These were all brand new homes. It was a brand new development. There were fences that delineated people's property lines. You grew up with certain rules. You don't park between the fence lines of a house unless you're visiting that house. Otherwise, you block people who might want to come to visit at that house. Now, if you had people over, if you had a party, if you had a gathering, it became tricky. And so it was understood that you'd go to the neighbors and find out it's okay if people parked in front of the house. When you had your back to the house I grew up in, you looked at to the right and to the left. To the right was the Smiths, to the left there was the Bowers. They had corner lots, so they had the frontage, but then they had sideage. And you could park there. I mean, there were rules about being in the suburbs. And so as a child, we were presented that we each had kind of had a house. And it's like, well, no, that's not like the suburbs. That sounds like heaven. You know, everybody, you know, living in their own place with these rules and regulations. I very much like this image of, in my father's house are many rooms. It answers to me a lot of questions. Over the years, I've had people ask me a lot of questions. I was leading a young adult retreat in the mountains many moons ago. And we're sitting on the picnic table, you know, outside the cabin, and there's other cabins around us. And I had my guitar out, and we were singing. This woman came up and sat. It seemed like an odd moment, but you know, we were singing, and there were people, okay, she wanted to hear the singing. And when we stopped, she says, can I ask a question? And it just in the moment, I will say that the spirit said, listen. Okay. Yeah, absolutely, you can ask a question. Well, she had just lost her son, her teenage son, 18. She was almost despondent, not knowing where he went. Did he know? Was he confused? Would he get lost? I had the good sense not to try to answer right away and just let her tell her story. The kids I was, you know, leading at this retreat were awesome. And it was the seed of this notion I have of why Jesus says the Father's house. And I think the reason is that we know where it is. And he would, this woman's son would have known it was his Heavenly Father's house. We know where that is. Very early in my ministry, in fact, my first call, I was in a rural area, and I was going to visit a family in the church. And so I called to get directions. It was, I knew they were out south end of the county, and you know, there aren't street signs, and there wasn't GPS. The first instruction was, well, come down the county highway, and then turn left where the Johnson's farm used to be. What? I didn't know the Johnsons. I was a new guy. I didn't know where this was. People said, you know what? John will come out to the crossroad and watch for his truck, and then he'll lead you in. Awesome. So I go down the county road, I get to the crossroad, and there is indeed no farm where the Johnson's farm used to be. It's empty. The farm, it was long gone. But they knew. My theory is that there's no better way to cement the route to somebody's house better than getting lost. And so I got there, and I was, you know, part of the road that we got onto then went through the middle of somebody's farm. It was like the barn was on one side and the house was on the other, and the road just led right through the middle. And people, this is how it was. People were fine. They waved. And I finally got to the house and we had a lovely visit. That was kind of the second bit of the seed here, to say there are places that we know how to get to. Like, they knew how to get to their house. When I asked them for directions, they didn't know. And they knew where they lived. They drove there every day, back and forth to town. But to describe it, you know, I know how to get there. I can't get the directions. My feeling is that, you know, at death, this is what happens. We know where we're going. It's also my, I'm not going to call it a theory. I've seen it happen time and time again. How often people will say, well, you know, the last few days, Dad's been really confused. How do you know he's confused? Well, he keeps on talking to his brother, and his brother's been dead for a long time. Oh, okay. I don't think he's confused. I think when we pass over, when we pass away, God provides a guide, somebody to calm our fears and help us to make that transition. And I think for your father, I think that, you know, that person is his brother. I think his brother is getting him ready. I've just seen it happen over and over and over again. You know, for Sally, it was her uncle. Her uncle Bruce appeared to her in a dream before she was even in the hospital. It's a very early indicator, I think, about how sick she was. But Uncle Bruce appeared it was just all black except for this really gorgeous oak revolving door. And Uncle Bruce came through it with two snifters of Drambuie. And if we Scots know very well what Drambuie is. And they had a conversation, Sally in this dream vision state, and Uncle Bruce. And Uncle Bruce had told her it wasn't time, but that when it was time, he would be there. And she asked him to leave the Drambuie before he left. That wasn't part of the deal, he said. They both had a laugh. And so I, you know, when Sally did pass away, I have no doubt that Uncle Bruce was there with the Drambuie. And it helped her make the transition through an oak revolving door. Okay. So I, you know, when I read this lesson, there's a lot. And a lot revolving around that sense of the Father's house. Now, in my funeral sermons, I have a vision of it myself. It's not definitive. It's not in the Bible. But when I think of the Father's house, I think of a house at the end of a gravel road. Again, I'm a suburban kid. I was well into adulthood before I drove on a gravel road. But for some reason, it's a gravel road, partly because you can hear people approach. The person and their companion, you can hear them crunching on the gravel. So people at the house get excited because somebody's coming. It's a big house with a gigantic porch, veranda, whatever we want to call it. Big enough where a bunch of people can gather on it because they're waiting for people to arrive. That's where you wait. There are steps up to it, which it's not a problem because I think for all of us, we'll be fine. We'll be restored. We will be perfected. And so walking up the steps will not be a problem. I've had people who, you know, the thing that mom missed most was having to give up dancing. Her and dad loved to dance. Well, I think we dance in heaven. Careful, breathe. It's all right. But I think a big gathering, very loud. There's double doors because a lot of people. And it's a bit like the Doctor Who's TARDIS or Mary Poppins' satchel. Or the Narnia wardrobe, where you enter in and it just gets bigger and bigger. And there are rooms. We all have a room. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. So we have a room. And when we see that room, it's like, okay, it's perfect. Whatever my room is perfect. But we never go there. Because in my sense of the Father's house, the central place is the kitchen. There's the smell of really good, strong coffee. Tea drinkers, your house is, no, I don't know. Again, this is just my vision. The smell of coffee, the smell of fresh baked goods, you know, a good scone. And it's a big island and people are just gathered and they're sitting at tables and they're talking. It's just really delightful. So when Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way. You know, you'll know, because I'll be in you. I'll be with you. And we'll just know. We won't be able to give directions. You know, where's the Father's house? I don't know. But we'll have people who will help us get there. And then I think, you know, as time goes on, we may be blessed, you know, to be able to be, you know, the transitional companions for other people. In these Easter Sundays where we talk about who is Jesus, And, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I want us to get a sense of the power of what it is for Jesus to be the way. It gets front-loaded a lot where Jesus is the way of precision, of doctrine, of dogma, of liturgical rules, of the suburbs, of where you can park, and, you know, no. He's the way home. He's the way home. And we'll know because that's where home is. All the pictures of heaven are banquets. The late Tony Campolo wrote this amazing book called The Kingdom of God is a Party. And it's all about this notion of banquet, of celebration, a family dinner. And so I leave those thoughts with you, hopefully as, you know, as signs of comfort. You know, this time of Easter, as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, we hear these words that he used to comfort his own followers, and may they bring comfort to us. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for home, that there's a places prepared for us, this vision of celebration, of reunion, of restoration, of wholeness and healing. We give you thanks for that. We call to mind, you know, people we've lost, and it's hard. It's so hard. We miss them so much. And we thank you that they're restored, that they're healed, that they're with the people they care about. And we thank you for that. And we ask that that would help not take away our grief. We don't want you to do that. Our grief is our tribute and love for them. But that would give us comfort. We pray for those that we know that are near death, that you would grant them a blessed companion, and that we would wish them well, and we would wish them Godspeed, even in the midst of our own feelings of loss. And we pray for ourselves that we would have comfort, yet, you know, those of us who are older, you know, that there'd be that sense of promise, that sense of hope. And so we give you thanks for these words. We give you thanks for the image, whatever it is for each of us. And we give you thanks that in you we have hope. Amen.